Today's shiur is Masech Bava Kama Daf Mem Hei. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Shor Shu Yoytzi L'Sokol, a shor that's being taken out to be killed because it killed a person. And the Mukhi Yosef says it doesn't necessarily have to be referring to a situation that the animal's actually being taken out to be killed. The point is that it was sentenced to death already. V'gdish Balov, and its owners were magdashit. The halacha is ayim magdashit. It's not a valid act of hegdash. The Rishonim actually take two approaches in understanding why it's not a valid act. Some say it's from the owner's perspective, because the owner no longer is really considered the owner of an animal once it's already osa b'hanah, so he no longer has the ability to be magdashit. And others take the approach that the animal that's already osa b'hanah is totally worthless, and therefore, in order for Hegdish to be effective, you have to have something tangible, something of value. This no longer has any value. Shachtoi, if he shechted it, basar b'sarei asar. The basar is also to be eaten. Vim atshaloi nigmadina. However, if he did this prior to the Gemar Din, and as the Paiskim say, this is extremely relevant, b'zman hazeh, because we really don't have the ability to paskin a shayla on killing an animal nowadays, if such a situation were to come up. So nowadays, if you have such an animal, as we're going to learn in tomorrow's Shir Mitzvah Shem, such an animal should not be kept in one's possession. Uviyarta hara, mikabecha tells us the Torah. But still, you have this animal. So what the right thing to Paiskim say to do is shecht it. Just shecht it and eat it. V'machloi nigdimer, higdishoi balov. Somebody was magdashit, the halacha is mugdash. It's a valid hegdash. So the Me'iri helps us understand what the Mishnah is saying here. He says, on one hand, the hegdash is a valid hegdash, but on the other hand, one should not actually bring this animal as a carbon on the Mizbeach. It's inappropriate to use this as a carbon. What should be done, says the Me'iri, is that they should be poida, they should redeem it, but obviously the redemption, he says, will be at a very minimal price. Because the Me'iri points out that even though this person was magdish the animal, and our Mishnah is teaching us that the hegdish is a valid hegdish, it doesn't take away the chiv skila. There's still a chiv skila on this animal, so it doesn't really have much of a lifespan left, but that's the din. The Chasam Sofer indicates that if someone were to be makriv this animal as a carbon, it would be a valid carbon b'dievet. Vim shachtoi, if somebody shechted the animal before the Gemar Din, v'sar mutar, you're allowed to eat the meat. Says the Mishnah further, Masrei, if somebody gives over an animal, l'shem mechinam, l'shoyel, l'nasi sachu, l'saychu. We all remember Pashas Mishpatim. We'll spend the Mitzvah Shem a lot of time in Masechta Bava Metzia, learning the halachas of the four shomrim. A shemichinim is somebody who watches something for no remuneration. That the halacha is a shemichinim is always potter, besides if he was a posheya. A naisei sachar is somebody who is is somebody who borrows. By shoyel, it's just the opposite. A shoyel is always chayif. A naisei sachar is somebody who is getting paid to watch this item, that the halacha is he's chayv on pshia and a gneva of avoida, and a saichu will learn the gemara's a machloikis. They, says the Mishnah, nichnasu tachas habalim. They, once they become shomrim on the animal, come into the place of the owner. And therefore, if they're a shomer of a muad, and it does damage, they'll pay nezek shalim, tam shalom chatzin nezek. The Mefarshim discuss why does the Mishnah mention the Shomrim in this order. If we look in the Torah, the order is Shomer, Naisa Sachar, Shoyel, and Seicher. Why don't we follow the order the Torah gives us? So I saw two answers. One answer is, as we explained, Shemichinim and Shoyel are actually the two extremes. Shemichinim is the least obligated, and the Shoyel is the most obligated. So the Mishnah first mentions the two extremes and then talks about the middle. Another explanation that Tosfos Yontif suggests is that the Shoyel Mechinim and the Shoyel both have something in common. there's no money involved. The Shoyl Mechinim is watching the item for free, and the Shoyl borrowed the item and didn't cost him anything. On the other hand, the Noisei Socher and the Soicher also have something in common. There is money involved. They're either getting paid or they paid. So the Mishnah groups them together that way, says the Tosfos Yontif. Now here we have a very fundamental machloikis, Rambam and Ravid. How do we understand the obligation of a Shoimer? The Ravid suggests that when the Mishnah says that the Shoimer is responsible, it doesn't mean to completely displace the owner. He's the responsible party, but we're not completely displacing the owner. The Rambam seems to suggest that they come in the place of the owner. And there are some very relevant nafkaminas. One nafkamina will be, let's say the Shoimer doesn't have the ability to pay. Will the Bailam have to pay? It's based on the Machlokes Rambam and Ravid. According to the Ravid, they would. According to the Rambam, they wouldn't. Another halacha, we're going to learn Masechet Bava Metzia. One of the times that a Shoimer is typically not held responsible is if Balov Imai, if the owner is with the Shoimer. Will the din of Balov Imai apply here? According to the Ravid, absolutely. According to the Rambam, it's not that they're owners. The Shoimer is the responsible person. Ask the Mefarshim. The halacha is that a mitam mishalim v'gufay. That if somebody owns a tam and it does damage, halacha we learned many times, so you mishalim v'gufay, you mishalim from the guf of the animal. The question is, a Shoimer doesn't own the animal. And if the Shoimer doesn't own the animal, as we're explaining, why would the real owner take the loss of tam mishalim v'gufay? So according to the Ravid's explanation, that the owner still remains somewhat of a responsible party, we could understand, because we're not completely displacing the owner. And according to the Ravid, what the halach would be, is that the tam, we would collect payment from the animal himself, and then they'll take back to get reimbursed from the Shoimer. But how will the Rambam understand that halach? So there's a very big chiddush from Chaim. Rav Chaim says, very bechidish. He says, we're used to understanding that if you own a tam and it does damage, you're obligated to pay chatzi nezek. He says, that's not what the rule is. The halacha is that the tam himself has to pay the chatzi nezek. By the Torah telling us that the payment is extracted from the animal itself, it means that the animal is responsible to pay. So it doesn't make a difference who's responsible, the shomer or the owner, it's really the animal that has to pay. Tanabon, Shar Shahemus Achloi Nigma Dinai, if the Shar killed somebody before it was, and it wasn't yet Nigma Dinai that it has to be killed, Dalok is Makri Makr, if the owner sells it, it's fine. Higdishai Mugdish, if he's Magdish it, it's fine. Shachta, if he shechts it, the Sar Mutta. Now starts the Gemara with another interesting question. Higzir Shamal Beis Palaf, there was a Shomer who was watching an animal. And while he was watching the animal killed someone. And you know what the Shoimer does? The halacha is the Shoimer, when he finishes his term, has to return the animal. So he returns the animal. Hechzira, Shoimer beis balav, muchsaf. It's considered that he returned it, and he's free. Now Bezdin is going to kill the animal, and he's going to be left, the owner is going to be left with nothing. Doesn't change the reality that the Shoimer fulfilled his obligation. However, once it was already sentenced to death, Daloch is Machre and a Machre, it's too late to sell it. Higdisha and a Mugdish, it's too late to be Magdish it. Shachtai, even if you shacht it, Basari Asr, the Basar is Asr to be eaten. Higzira is Shamil Beis Balaf, if at that point you want to give it back to the owner, it's too late. Ain't a Mukhsar. It's too late to give it back to the owner. That is the opinion of the Rabbanim. Rav Yaakov Omer. Rav Yaakov says it's never too late. Af mishenig medinoi, even if it has already been sentenced to death, hechzira yishoyma lebalov, if the shoyma returns it, muchzor. He's accomplished what he has to, and he has no further obligation. Suggest the Gemara, what is the machloikis of the Rabbanan and Rav Yaakov? Leim b'hokim ifgi, that the basis of their machloikis is the Rabbanan savri, ein oimer b'isur hanoa, harei shal chalafanecha, if something's osa b'hanoa, I can't say that I gave it back to you, and therefore I fulfilled my obligation. Rabbi Yaakov Sover, Imrim Bisur Hanor, even though the item under my watch became Osba Hanor, if I give you back what I was supposed to give you back, I remember Rachel Cholofanech, I did what I was supposed to. The fact that now it's going to get killed is not my concern. Says Rabbi, incorrect. Amar Rabbi, the Kule Amma, Oimrim, Bisurei No Arosh, HaReishel Chol Fenecha. Everybody agrees that Bisurei No, they would say, if I give you back what I was supposed to, I've accomplished what I was supposed to. And says the Beis Halevi, from here we see that Bisurei HaNo are not viewed like Hefker. Because if the Surah and Noah were viewed like they became Hefker, then obviously it's not considered I gave it back to you. Because what's the proof that that is not the subject of the Machloikis? Dimkei Niflig Lin Yechamis B'Pesach. Rashi tells us, and we're going to learn the Gemara later in the Masech, the Mitzvah Shem, that let's say somebody stole Chametz from someone else. Reuven stole Chametz from Shimon. And now we know that if Chametz is left over Yontif, over Pesach, under the ownership of a Jew, it becomes Chametz Shavel over Pesach. You're not allowed to eat that Chametz. So now the Ganef, the Halacha, the Torah teaches us, is what is a Gazan supposed to do with the item he stole? The Heshiv is a Gzela Shagazel. He has to return the item. So after Yontif, he gives it back. Everybody agrees he fulfilled his obligation. He gave back the Chametz that he stole. HaReishel Cholofanecha. But if we're going to say, says Rabbah, that this concept of HaReishel Cholofanecha is actually the subject of a machloikis of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yaakov, why does everybody agree that the Ganef just gives back what he stole and says HaReishel Cholofanecha? It must be, says the Gemara, that everybody subscribes to the concept of HaReishel Cholofanecha. And we need now to find another issue which must be the point of contention between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yaakov. But it's interesting to note, as I just said, that what does Rashi use as the example by Chametz of HaReishel Cholofanecha? That somebody stole Chametz from somebody else, and now he returns that Chametz after Yontif. Ask the Mefarshim, why doesn't Rashi say a simpler case? Somebody was asked to watch Chametz. Reuven asked Shimon to watch his Chametz. Shimon didn't take care of making sure that the Chametz was sold or disposed of before Yontif. And now Shimon, after Yontif, gives back the Chametz to Reuven. Why doesn't Rashi say, why do we have to talk about a Ganef? And this is the basis of a Machloikas HaPoiskim. There are Poiskim that say that in this case, everybody would agree that you can't say a HaReishel Cholofanecha. Why? Because as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, in all types of Shomrim, the Halacha is a Shomer is Chayiv if he was Poshea. A Shomer is Chayiv, he was negligent. If a Shomer has Chametz of someone else before Yontif, and he doesn't take care of dealing with it over Yontif, he is considered a Poshea. He should have either returned it before Yontif, he should have sold it, he should have given it to God, he should have done something with it. And by a Shomer, a Poshea is Chayiv. And therefore there are many Poskim that suggest that a Ganef could say a HaReishel Cholofanecha, but a Shomer can't say a HaReishel Cholofanecha. There are other Poskim going to disagree and say if a Ganef could say a HaReishel Cholofanecha, so can a Shomer. So says the Gemara, Ella, what is the Machloikis of Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanon all about? Hocho, begoyim dinu shesha shalai b'fonav. If we could paskin what should be done with this shor who killed a person not in the presence of the shor, that's commiflically what they're arguing about. The Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon are of the opinion, Ein goyim dinu shesha el b'fonav. You could only sentence a shor in the presence of the shor. So now, the owner of the shor tells the shomer, Oimerle, he tells him, "E had recently, if you would have given me back the shor, have a marik nelel agma. I would have hidden the shor. Hashta, what did you do? At fasta le turoi, the yod de leichon l'shtuya dina badei. You gave the shor to Bezdin. Now that it's going to be in Bezdin's hands, Bezdin's going to kill it. So you, the owner of the shor, tells the shomer, you caused me terrible problem by giving the shor to the Bezdin. And therefore you should be held responsible." That's the opinion of the Rabbanim. So the Mefarshim asks, the Chasam Sofer discusses this, the Ber Yitzchak discusses it. the Shomer, we're going to be angry for doing the right thing? That he has a shor that killed and he gave it to the Beis Din? Isn't he obligated to give it to the Beis Din? So the Chasam Sofer says a very bechiddush. He says the obligation to turn over a shor to a Beis Din that everybody has, as the Rambam says, is only in a shor that's hefker. Here we're not talking about a shor that's hefker. Here we're talking about a shor that has owners. Says the Chasam Sofer that it's not the Shomer's job to give it to Beis Din. It's the Shomer's job to give it back to the owner. And therefore, the owner could have a claim to the Shomer. Why did you give it to Beis Din? But now, ask the Bar Yitzchak, so fine. So he gave it to the owner. But doesn't the owner have the obligation to give it to Beis Din? So are the owners going to be angry at the Shomer for doing what he should have done? Says the Bar Yitzchak, he doesn't have an obligation. The owner doesn't have an obligation to give it to Beis Din. I said this earlier in the shiur. The owner's obligation is to get the shor off the street. So what could he do? He could take the shor, shecht it, and eat it. But what did the Shomer do? He gave it to Beis Din. What's Beis Din going to do? Kill it. And that's why, according to the Rabbanon, the owner has a valid claim against the Shomer. You caused me an irretrievable loss by giving it to Beis Din. However, Rav Yaakov is of the opinion, Goyim Dina Shashar Shlavifonov. The Beis Din Kapaskin, even if they don't have the shor. Darmalay, Saif Saif, have a Migmar Eladina. So the Shomer says to the owner, what are you angry with me that I gave it to Beis Din? And if I wouldn't have given it to Beis Din couldn't come to their conclusion? There's Machloikas Rishonim. Here we're saying that there's Machloikas Rav Yaakov Rabbonin. If we Kapaskin without the presence of the shor, what does that mean? Some Rishonim say that Beis Din cannot accept the testimony of Edim, nor sentence the shor to death when the shor isn't there. Other Rishonim explain that it's only regarding the sentencing that Beis Din, according to the opinion of Rabbanan, can't do without the shor there. But taking Edis, they could take without the shor there. Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikas of Rabbanan and of Yaakov? My time to Rabbanan. Rabbanan hold, the Torah says, Hashor Yisokel, the gamba all of you must. Kamisis abalim, kach misis ashar. The Torah compares the two situations. Ma abalim, you can never accept testimony about a person who's accused of murder. He has to be there b'fneim, afshar b'fonov. And therefore, if he's not there, you can't have it in Torah. Rav Yaakov says, bishlam abalim, by the owner, we need him there, because b'nei taninu. A person can get up and defend himself. El Shor Batanosu, could a Shor defend himself? So according to Rabbi Yaakov, there is no point in the Shor being there. And as Tosfos explains, it's not to say that Rabbi Yaakov disagrees with the concept of Kamisis Habalim, Kachmisis Hashor. Certainly he agrees to the concept. In this specific situation, he says, however, there's no purpose, there's no point in having the Shor there. And if he'll have the Shor there, can he defend himself? And the Maloy HaRoyim explains that what is the basis of the Machloikis of Rabbon and Rav Yaakov, a concept we find many times in Shas. If Darshin and Tamad the Kro, if we take a Pasuk and we look to try to understand the reasoning behind the Pasuk. The Rabbon say, Loi Darshin and Tamad the Kro. The Torah tells us, Kemisis Abalim Kach Misis Ashar. If the owner has to be there, the Shar has to be there. Rav Yaakov says there has to be a reason for what the Torah says. What's the reason that you have to have the owner there? So he could defend himself. That obviously isn't applicable by a shor. As we finished the sugya, I saw a very interesting shaila that's quite interesting, that's based on this Gemara. There's a yeshiva, that there's a rule in the yeshiva that none of the students are allowed to have a cell phone. And there's a student, let's say his name is Reuven, who has one. Shimon borrows the cell phone from Reuven. And the principal of the yeshiva catches Shimon with the cell phone and confiscates it. Shimon goes to the principal and says, I'd like the cell phone back. He says, it's not my cell phone, it's someone else's cell phone. So the principal says, okay, let the individual who owns the cell phone come to me and we'll talk. Now, Reuven doesn't want to go to the principal because he doesn't want to admit that he had a cell phone, which are against the rules of the yeshiva. Shimon says to Reuven, Hareshel Cholofanecho, go to the principal and you'll get your cell phone back. You have no claim to me. What is the halacha? So I saw that Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses this shaila, and he says that certainly this is a situation of a racial cholof fenecha. And he gives two reasons. First of all, it's unlike our Gemara, because in our Gemara, Bezdin's going to kill the shor. Here, the principal's not going to destroy the cell phone. And number two, he says, Reuven Taka did something wrong. Why do you have a cell phone if it's against the rules of the school? And now saying that I did something wrong and I should be able to get away with it is unacceptable, and Shimon indeed could say, Aresha Chalafanecha. Says the Gemara, Masul Shemechinam L'Shoyel, if he gave over the animal to one of these Shoymen, Tana Abonin, there are four types of shomrim that could be in the place of the owner. Ve'elan shemichinam, v'ashoyel, noisesocha v'asoycha. Hargu, if these animals, when they're under the watch of these shomrim, kill somebody. Tamim, if they're a tam, narogim, they're killed, u'pturim in a kaifer, but they don't have to pay kaifer, as we've been learning. A tam never pays kaifer. V'chayovin, lahachse demei shor, Lebalov, however, the shomer has to return to the owner the value of the shor that got killed. Chutz mishamer chinam. Muadim, I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Turman a kaifer. Muadim narogim, they killed. Musham is a kaifer. For chayov lachs at the meishar lebalov, the shomer has to reimburse the owner. Chutz mishamer chinam, except if the shomer is a shomer chinam. Ask the Gemara Amri, hey chidomi, exactly what is the case that the Braisa is referring to? He did not ray. If the shomer properly watched the animal, then a fool kuli nami lifteru. So if he did his job properly, why should he be held responsible? And we're going to explain the Gemara Mitzvashem as Rashi teaches us the Gemara. That the question here is that all of them should be absolved from paying nezek besides the shoyel. Because the shoyel has to pay even if it was an oynus, as we explained. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos, just to mention it for a moment, holds that the question here is that there should be no kaifer obligation, and that should be done by all shomrim. Again, we're going to learn like Rashi. V'deloi natri, and if the shomer did not properly watch it, afilu shomer chinam nechayev, then even the shomer chinam should be held responsible. He's a posheya. Answers the Gemara, Amri, hachem mai v'skinen, what is the situation here? The natri shmira p'chusa, that the shomer watched it, a minimal shmira, but he didn't do it a proper, complete shmira. Shomechinam, that's all he has to do. So if he watched this minimal shmira, he's done his job, and therefore he's not chayiv. Hanach, all the other shomrim, have to watch it a shmira mu'ula, and since they didn't watch it a shmira mu'ula, like kol shmirasam, they haven't done their job properly, and they're going to be held responsible. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have to repeat two machloikasin of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, the same two man Amrin. One is a Gemara Amud Beis, machloikas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah. Rav Meir holds that a tam and a muad require a shmira mu'ula, a strong shmira. Rav Yehuda holds a tam requires a shmira mu'ula, but a muad only requires a shmira p'chusa. Another machloikas. I referenced it earlier in this year. We spoke about somebody who rents, somebody who is a soicher. What is the din of a soicher? So Masechet Bava Metzia is Machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir holds that a soicher has the din like a shomechinam. And Rav Yehuda holds that a soicher has a din like a shomechinam. So now says the Gemara, Amri, now that we've explained the Braisa this way, command, how will we understand the Braisa? Ikra Meir, if we're going to explain that the Braisa is following the opinion of Rav Meir, the Rav Meir, as we just said, says the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia, that soicher, kishamechinam dami, that the din of a soicher and the din of shamechinam are equivalent. So if we're saying that here the shamechinam is absolved, so whatever is the din for shamechinam ought to be the same din for a soicher. So listening, why doesn't the Braisa only absolve the shamechinam? Listening, chutz mishamechinam v'asoicher, because they travel together. If, on the other hand, we're going to say that the Braisa follows the opinion of Yehuda, that a soicher kenais a socher, that a soicher has a din like a shemes socher, not like a shemechinam, but then all of them should be absolved. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, as I said a moment ago, once you did a shmir p'chusa by a muad, you potter. And we just explained that the Braisa is referring to a situation where a shmir p'chusa was done. So if a shmir p'chusa was done, all shomrim should be exempt. Nisni,
Chutz b'shem mechinev akulam b'mo'an p'torim l'nyakayfer, that they should be potter because they did the shmir b'chusa. And according to Yehuda, that's all you need to do by a mu'ud. So whose opinion is this b'raisa reflecting? Answers the Gemara. Amr afhuna b'chinena ha'mani. The opinion of this b'raisa is the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, who we also are going to learn in the Mishnah that we're coming up to. D'amar ein lo shmira ela sakin. For a mu'ud, there is no shmira. And you're always responsible if a mu'ud does damage. And therefore, if the mu'ud does damage, you're chayiv, except if you're a shayim b'chinem. And he's also going to follow the opinion of Yehuda that a saicher has the din of a shayim b'sachar. And when you saicher, savalek Rabbi Yehuda, da'im is saicher, k'nais is sachar dami, has the same din of a shayim b'sachar. And that's why, according to Rabbi Lezer's opinion, only a shayim b'chinem who has minimal responsibility would be absolved. Abai Amar, Abai has a different teretz. We explain, on top of this Amid, that Emmaus says that a Shomer, that a Soich has a din like a Shomer Chinam, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says a Soich has a din like a Shomer Socher. But when the Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia, we're going to see that Abai reverses those opinions. And he has Emmaus holding that a Soich has a din like a Shomer Socher, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds a Soich has a din like a Shomer Chinam. Abai Amaloilam Kremeya. I, according to Rameya, we asked, then why is the Brisa only exempt a Shem Echinim? The Brisa also ought to exempt a Soicher, because we said according to Rameya, a Soicher has the same din as a Shem Echinim. Abai is going to hold, Ukremach l'Rabba b'Avu v'Tani, he's going to agree with Rabbi Avu that said, that Soicher keitz mishalem, what is the din of a Soicher? Rameya I'm a Keshem Esacher, Rameya I'm a Keshem Echinim. So according to Rameya, it's very beautiful. Rameya holds that you always need a Shmir Mu'ula. The only one that doesn't need a Shmir Mu'ula is a Shai Mechinim. And a Seicher doesn't have the same din as a Shai Mechinim. Says the Gemara, Amar Beleza, Masa Shai Mu'ula Shai Mechinim. If somebody gave over his Shar to a Shai Mechinim, Hizik, if it did damage, the Shomer is Chayiv. Huzak, if he was hurt, he's Potter. Ask the Gemara Amri, what is the case that Rabbi Loz is referring to? Heichi Domi, Ida Kabbalah Shmiras Nizakov. If the Shomer accepted upon himself full responsibility, Afil Huzak Namil Chayiv. He ought to be Chayiv even if he got damaged. He took upon himself full responsibility. And the Rashba, and most Rishonim, explain, it's not that the Shomer has to explicitly accept upon himself full responsibility. It works the other way. Unless the Shomer stipulates that he's not going to be responsible, he's going to always be responsible. So some Rishonim disagree. Actually, the wording of the Gemara is more like those other Rishonim, but the Halach is like the Rashba. Idloi Kabbalav Shmir Znizakov. If he didn't take upon himself, that means he explicitly stipulated that he's not going to be responsible. So then I feel his Nami Lifter. Then he ought to be exempt, even if it does damage. And if he didn't, again, either Kibbalah Shmir is Nizakov, if he took responsibility, or according to the Rashba, automatically, I feel Huzak Nam L'chayiv, even if it gets damaged, he should be responsible. If, on the other hand, the like Kibbalah Shmir is Nizakov, he expressly exempted himself, stipulated that he should be potter, so then I feel Huzak Nam Lifter, that even if it did damage, he should be exempt. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Elon Shekibbalah Shmir is Nizakov. He did take the responsibility. However, Hachab Ma'iskinen, we're referring to a situation, Kigon Sheikah Bashanachin. The Shomer knew that this animal has a track record, that this animal is a mu'ud. And since the animal is a mu'ud, Stama de Milsa, the Lay Ozel Iu Amazak Achrina Kibalei, he knew that this animal is a mu'ud, and he still took responsibility for the animal. Included in taking that responsibility is that he knows that he has to make sure that this animal doesn't do damage. But he wasn't concerned that anybody's going to start up with this animal. Why? Because he assumed that everybody's scared of this animal. It's a nachon. The le'ozel iyu, a mazik achrina kibbalei, that it won't do damage, he took on that responsibility. The os achrina maskele l'day, but that anybody would do anything to this animal, He never assumed that such a thing would happen because he thinks everybody's scared of this animal. And therefore, he's chayiv if it does damage, he's potter if it gets damaged. However, the Rishonim make two very important points, two halacha points. One is that this depends on him knowing that the shor is a muad. If when the shomer, we spoke about this type, this gemara already, if a shomer took a shor and he was never told that the shor is a muad, and it turns out that it is a muad, according to the Marik, it's a mekach tos, and he has no responsibility at all. The Machna Frayim doesn't, I quoted this Machna Frayim, doesn't agree with the Marik. You can't call it a mekach tos, but he does say his level of responsibility is seriously limited. Furthermore, says the Rishonim, very nice verse. This is also Rashba. He says like this, the Gemara says that this person knew it's a muad, and therefore he never assumed that any animal will start up with an animal that's a muad. What animal won't start up with an animal that's a muad? A tam. But let's say the animal that started up with the animal that he's watching is a muad. Just like his animal is a muad, he would be chayiv. Because who's scared of a muad? A tam is scared of a muad. A muad is not scared of a muad. And therefore, for that he would be chayiv, even if it got damaged. I find the Gemara fascinating, because the Gemara is assuming that animals have a high level of intelligence. And that animals, a tam knows not to start up with a muad, but a muad is not scared to start up with a muad. It gives animals a tremendously significant level of intelligence. Says the Mishnah. And this is the Mishnah that we referred to earlier. Kasha Balva Masera. If the owner tied up the animal, the Novafav Kibari, and properly made a proper Shmira, the Yotzev Hezek, and then it goes and does Hezek, Echatam Vechamud Chayiv Div Remeya. Because the opinion of Remeya is that he's always responsible, whether it's a Tam or a Muad, to do a Shmira Mu'ula. Rabbi Huda Omer, Tam Chayiv, a Muad Potter. A Tam requires a Shmira Mu'ula, a Muad requires a Shmira Pchusa. Shnemar, the Torah regarding a Muad says, V'lo Yishmeran Abalav, V'shamuza, you did a Shmira. So all the Rishonim and everybody, as we learn this Gemara, has the obvious question. The Gemara said, Yitziva ba'ara v'goyu b'shmei Shemaya. What's Rabbi Yehuda saying? We have to watch a tam better than a muad? That a tam requires a shmir mu'ula and a muad requires a shmir p'chusa? What's the svara? Says the Miri, it's a gvaldiga svara. An animal that's a muad, everybody knows that you have to watch out. This animal's a muad. So even if the owner made a shmir p'chusa, that's adequate, because everybody's on guard. On the tam, people don't watch out, because this animal's a tam. And that was stupid. And therefore, the owner was responsible, and that's why tam requires a shmir mu'ula. Rebbe Lez Oimer, ein lo shmir el sakin. A muad, as I said a moment ago, Rebbe Lez's opinion is, has to be killed. There's no way of watching it properly. Ask the Gemara, my tam de Rameya, what's the basis of Rameya's psak? That both a tam and a muad require a shmir mu'ula. Says the Gemara Kasav, Rameya's opinion is, stam shvarm la b'cheska shimukani. And as Tosfos points out, it's not to be understood the way we had cheska shima on Daf Tezvav. What it means is like this, you can never, nobody really watches an animal properly. Vram Rachmana, and the Torah says, tam nechayiv, that if a tam does hezek, he's chayiv. What is the Torah telling us? And the Bar Shmir Pchusa, that you should watch it at least minimally. Hada Machmana. Then the Torah uses the words, V'lo Yashmirana Gaba Mu'ud, that if you didn't watch the Mu'ud, you're going to be responsible. What's the Torah teaching us with those words? The Nebar Le Shmir Mu'ula, that you have to do a Shmir Mu'ula. And then, since the Torah uses the words Negicha by Tam and Negicha by Mu'ud, the Yal of Negicha Tam, Negicha Le Mu'ud, we learn Xereshava, and if a Mu'ud requires a Shmir Mu'ula, so will a Tam. Rabbi Yehuda have a Sover, Stam Shmar Becheska Shima Kaimi. Everybody watches the animal. Om Rachman, and then the Torah tells us, Tam Nishalim, that if you don't watch your animal and it's a Tam, you're going to be responsible. The Torah is adding a level of Shmira. What's the Torah telling us? The Nebaile Shmira Mu'ula, that you have to do a Shmira Mu'ula. Hod Om Rachmana, Vlo Yishmerenu Gava Mu'ud. Then when the Torah uses the words Lo Yishmerenu, telling us that, again, Nebaile Lo Shmira Mu'ula, you have to do a Shmira Mu'ula. But we have a rule, says Rabbi Yehuda. Have a ribui achribui. If the Torah adds says one ribui after another ribui. Ribui after ribui, vein ribui after ribui elamad. When we have two ribuis, we end up actually deducting. What's the Torah teaching us? Mi'ata kosov l'shmira mu'ula. So why is the what is the reason that miut achem miut ein miut achem miut ein ribui achem ribui el lamad? What does that mean? So I saw there's a machloikus. Beis Yosef says very simple. This is the rules. All the midos shatar and the dresses behind come with rules, and this is the rule. A ribui achem ribui is lamad. Other mafarshim say very nice pshat. The first ribui comes to make a ribui. When the second when the Torah says a second ribui, it's coming to say, don't be marba everything, limit where you're going to be marba. And that's exactly what happens here. First the Torah teaches us that a tam requires a shmir mu'ula. Then the Torah says the same thing by mu'ud. What's the Torah trying to say? That don't apply the din of shmir mu'ula to all animals, limit it only to a tam. But ask the Gemara, but why don't we learn Gzeira Shava? V'chi tema, negich latam, negich lamuud. That if the Torah uses the same word negich by tam and amuud, isn't it teaching us that the same din applies? And just like a tam requires a shmir ma'ula, so should a muud. Hamid rachmana. The Torah says, no, the Torah says, v'lo yishmirena, lezech. Only this animal requires a shmir ma'ula, the tam, v'lo ma'acher, not the muud. Ask the Gemara, how can we use that pasuk to teach us that din? The Torah is teaching us that you're responsible to watch your animal. Answers the Gemara, if all the Torah wanted to teach us is that you have the responsibility to watch it, the Torah should have said v'lo yishmer. And if you didn't watch it, you're going to be chayiv. Why did the Torah use the word v'lo yishmer? To teach us lezeh, that only a tam requires a shmir ma'ula, v'lo la'achan, not a mu'ud. Tanya, now we have a fourth opinion. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, echad tam v'echad mu'ud, sheshamer shmir p'chusa. The both a tam and a mu'ud, a shmir p'chusa is adequate. Potter. Ask them, my tama, what's the basis of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's reasoning? Savalok Rabbi Yehuda, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, as Rabbi Yehuda just explained, dama mu'ud b'shmir p'chusa sagala, that a shmir p'chusa is enough for a mu'ud. And then, v'yalef negich latam and negich lamu'ud, then he has a gzeir shava connecting tam and mu'ud, and if a mu'ud shmir p'chus is enough, for a tam it is too. Says the Gemara, Amar of Adar Rehava, lo'y patri Rabbi Yehuda el tzad hador shaba, av tzad tams from kaima metis. We've said this rule many times, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, how do we view a mu'ud? Do we view a mu'ud as a new bria, a mu'ud, or do we look at a mu'ud as a tam plus? Says Rav Adar Rehava, a mu'ud is a tam plus. So the din of a chatzi nezik, or the din that we're learning now, that a tam requires shmir mu'ula, that stays in place. It's only on the second half, on the nezik shalim, that a mu'ud has to pay. That's where the halacha will be, that you don't have to pay it if you even did just a shmir p'chusa. How does Rav Adar Rehava reach this conclusion? So Taisu says there is no pasik. He says it's a svara. What's the svara? Pash the svara. He says it doesn't make sense to Rav Adar Rehava that you should have an animal that's a mu'ud, that till now it was a tam and had this level of responsibility. And now when it's a mu'ud, it goes down so significantly that you won't have to pay at all. And that's why he said tzad tams m'kaymei medis. Now tzad tams m'kaymei medis teaches us that if a very bechidish, we have to really drill down with this. That let's say a mu'ud does damage. So one of the halachas that we keep on learning is that a tam pays megufay and a mu'ud pays me'aliyah. So now if a mu'ud does damage, the first chatzi nezek will be paid megufay, the second chatzi nezek will be paid me'aliyah. And the question is, what about the kaifer? A mu'ud pays kaifer, we've been learning. How can he pay kaifer? If there's nothing to take the first half from, the animal's killed. So Rishardim say that that's part of what the Torah said, that kaifer is not like nezek. Nezek, the first chatzi nezek is paid megufay, and the second half is paid me'aliyah. Kaifer is not nezek, and that's paid completely me'aliyah. Before we end the shir, there's a sefer called Divrei Yisrael from the Majlis Rebbe, and he has a section called Klolei Araisa, where he takes different rules of the that Torah sets forth, and he uses them to explain it, so to speak, api Musar, api Chassidus. So he takes this concept of Ein Ribuy Acher Ribuy El Lamat to teach us some interesting concepts. One concept is Ein Ribuy Acher Ribuy. If somebody is a guy Balgaiva, Ribuy Acher Ribuy, he keeps on considering himself better and better, El Lamat, he's really very little. That's one pshat, he says. Another pshat, Ein Ribuy Acher Ribuy, is that we know that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that one of the ways the Torah nickness is by having not that much Olam Hazeh, not having that much Gashmias. Ein Ribuy Acher Ribuy, if somebody keeps on amassing Olam Hazeh, amassing Gashmias, El Lamat, it's going to affect, it's going to lessen his Avodas Hashem. And the third pshat, he says, Ein Ribuy Acher Ribuy El Lamat, is like this. Sometimes people think, it's important for all of us to remember this, that we have to learn, we have to learn, we have to learn, but we don't have to review what we learn. Ein Ribuy Acher Ribuy, if we're going to continue just amassing more and more without reviewing El Lamat, we won't have what we learned.